This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
Wake up every morning with Sarah and Vinny.
What in the hell?
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's Thursday. Alice in Winterland, December 13th, Paramount Theater in Oakland. It's going to be incredible. Stars One Republic, Andy Grammer, and Haven Madison. And here is how you win your tickets. Right now, take the word ALIVE, A-L-I-V-E, and text it to 20357. The word is ALIVE, this hour's code word. Text that to 20357, and you're in the running to win tickets for the show. This hour's code word is ALIVE. Meet you at Alice in Winterland. You can buy tickets. You go to RadioAlice.com. And that'll take you right to it. And we'd love to see you at the show. But try and win them. Try and win them. And if you don't, go buy them. That's your next step. They're going fast too, so get them while they last. All right, quickly. Liam Payne of One Direction. He died in a fall from a balcony at a hotel in Argentina at the age of 31. By now, your phone has alerted you, or you heard us talking about this earlier. We don't know yet if it was an accident or intentional, but he had definitely been in some trouble earlier in the day, acting erratically in the lobby prior to the fall, smashed his laptop, had to be helped back to his room. We're talking about Liam Payne, formerly of One Direction, who has died in a fall from a balcony in Argentina. And there's tons of information out there. Be careful if you go to TMZ. They had some dicey pictures up there earlier, like things you don't want to see. But just so you know, that's, and we talked about it at length. If, you know, if you listen to our podcast, you'll have heard that in the 6 o'clock hour. So there's that. Okay. 1,000 bottles of baby oil. Why? They figured it out. Allegedly, Sean Diddy Combs had 1,000 bottles of baby oil that he would lace with the date rape drug. And apparently, if you squirt that on someone and rub it into them, there is some absorption that happens through the skin. Mm. So, I know. Who even figures that out? Like, what the actual... So
whoever did got promoted that day, I'll bet you that.
That is a great idea. And we're gonna, now I'm going to go buy 1,000 bottles of baby oil, and we're going to just squirt that on everyone. So there's this, look, here's another, this is yet
From
another.
From now on, you're known as the scientist.
Right.
In our
the
gang,
chemist, right?
You're the chemist, yeah.
You're breaking
Jesus.
Bad.
Jesus. Okay.
Diddy. Allegedly. This is another one of these stories where I'm not going to tell you all the details. You can find that. I'm looking at page6.com. There are some, just, it's just, some of the details are just sick. Diddy allegedly used baby oil laced with the date rape drug, widely known as GBH, to, quote, commit heinous, non-consensual acts of sexual violence and rape. This is a newly filed lawsuit. This is, I believe this is not the Busby guy. This is just yet another. This is filed by a Jane Doe along with five other lawsuits on Monday. Rohypnol is the, was what he fancied, particularly fancied is the quote. It's the brand name for a drug used to treat severe insomnia that can cause drowsiness and sedation. And it's, I always thought Rohypnol was the date rape drug, but they call it, they're saying GBH here. So I don't know if that's the same thing. Either way, a powerful sedative. According to this lawsuit, Diddy would secretly use the drug in alcoholic beverages like champagne or lemon drop cocktail drinks that were served at the parties that he threw. And so they say they were actually forced to, these people who are suing say they were forced to consume these alcoholic beverages either prior to entering or immediately upon entering. Like they were handing these out of the door, almost like you have to drink this to come in here, which, I mean, hello, red flags.
Well, people want to be on the scene, though.
Yes, they do. Oh, this is fine. We'll do this. They also say that he would douse people. He would take the squeeze bottles of one of his 1,000 squeeze bottles filled with baby oil and apparently the date rape drug, and he would squirt people, which I'm sure you're like, okay, I didn't just spend all my money on this outfit. Yay. But he would douse, this is the quote, he would douse victims in lotions or similar body oils, also laced with GBH, so that the drug would be absorbed through the victim's skin and make it easier to take advantage of, exploit, and assault him or her. You know, people have been talking about ever since the feds revealed that there were 1,000 bottles of Johnson & Johnson baby oil. They have to be bummed. Of that product and other lubricants as well when they raided the house. Like, everyone, what do you need all that for? But apparently he was just squirting it in people's faces all the time. So they're saying that Diddy was asked, what do you need that for? And they summarized that he has a huge house and buys in bulk. Really? Is anyone ever going to go through 1,000 bottles of Johnson & Johnson baby oil? Let's see. This another complaint followed by a John Doe on Monday alleges that a party hosted by Diddy in October 2021, he felt the immediate and overwhelming effects of a drink after consuming one drink. That suit says this behavior toward plaintiffs mimics a pattern of Combs and his agents and employees drugging unsuspecting victims in order to make it easier for Combs to sexually assault that person. And then there's a bunch of details. One lady, well, I don't want to, you know what? I'm not going to do this. If you want more details about this, they're out there. I'm looking at a Page Six story in particular. It is very detailed. So this is another Diddy thing. And this happened locally, allegedly, in Orinda. And this is a weird story. I'm looking at the Fox 2 KTVU website.
Okay.
They did a story on this. This woman is accusing him of a brutal rape. She's, in Orinda, which is Yes, came to Orinda. And by the way, first he talked to this lady on the phone with some friend. It starts with her going, I don't even want to talk to that guy. I think he's behind Tupac's thing. Murder. And then apparently Diddy got mad about it and came to her house and to do bad stuff.
I guess private jets, right?
I don't think it happened the same night, but yes, I'm sure that he said he's trying to sell his private jet. Cause what does he need that for anymore in jail? A woman whose name I do not have, has filed a lawsuit saying that he and his entourage raped her in Orinda. These details are terrible, including, I mean, this is not just, this is awful. If you want to come and look at this couple of lines I just don't want to tell you what they did.
Yeah, if you can't say it, then.
And this is as payback for her mentioning that he might have been involved in Tupac's murder years ago. There's her name. I'm not going to say it. This was filed on Tuesday. This is a lawsuit filed against Diddy, his bodyguard, Christina Corum, and Shane Pierce, who lives in Orinda, and four other unidentified people. Even the lawsuit, carries a trigger warning right on the front to talking about these highly sexual and highly abusive allegations that are being made. So basically she says that she was talking on the phone where her friend, this guy Pierce, who lives in Orinda, she meets him February 2018 after she had a fight with another man at a bar. And this guy came to her rescue. Then they're outside and he's talking via FaceTime to Diddy. Excuse me. I'm going to get this out right now.
I know the feeling.
Ah, so aggravating. So this Pierce guy comes to this woman's rescue outside the bar. And now he's all like showing off his famous friend. Like, I got Diddy on the phone, you know?
Okay.
Or whatever his name was at the time.
We're still talking about the same lady in Orinda.
This is the beginnings of what happened. So the woman is talking to this guy. He's talking to Diddy on FaceTime. And he's showing off that he's talking to Diddy, trying to impress people with his famous friend. She said that she wasn't impressed because, and she said out loud, I believed he had something to do with the murder of Tupac Shakur, and Diddy heard her through the phone. Diddy said, you'll pay for that allegation over the phone. So she alleges this. The next month, apparently the woman who's filed the suit went over to this guy Pierce's house.
So they stayed friends.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's a rental on the bottom portion of a home on Loma Vista Drive, everybody, to help him with his cancer medication. And when she got there, Pierce said, I want to give you a ride in my new car. So they go out and then they come back and start watching a movie. At that point, Diddy walked into the home in a grandiose manner that showed he was ready to party. And he came in with his bodyguard, Christina Quorum, and these other people who've been
Did
named
someone
in this
like,
suit.
Throw a red carpet out before him?
Undoubtedly.
Grandiose.
Yes,
huh?
Grandiose and with a champagne toast, I guess. So.
Wow.
He immediately, Diddy, began to antagonize her over the Tupac comment that she
made.
Well,
he was there to rape her, right?
Uh-huh. And he came toward her with a knife, threatening to give her a Glasgow smile, cutting her from ear to ear in retaliation. Then the bodyguard threatened her, saying they could ship her off anywhere in the world and she'd never see her family or anyone else she ever knew again. And then...
Did she... Never mind. What? Go on.
So Pierce starts to undress her, and Diddy allegedly took off the rest of her clothes while also getting a large bottle of liquid from a fanny pack and squirting it on her. And she thought it was acid. She's like, oh my God.
So she's now being held by knife point.
Yes. And she's been squirted with the date rape drug now. It was the bottle of baby oil that he brought with him that had rohypnol in it.
Okay.
She thought it was like acid or something. She realizes it's oil. And then I'm telling you, it is heinous. The details in this that she goes on to talk about are absolutely heinous. Fox 2 KTVU. I'm on their website. If you want to look at it, that's your call. Because, oh my God, this poor woman. Like that guy.
So he's going to be brought up on charges for this.
Oh, right.
Did
well,
she
they're
file
suing.
With?
Yes. She's filed.
With the same lawyer?
I don't believe. I think she's got a different.
She's
I don't
got
see
her own
Buxby's
lawyer.
Or Busby's name or anything.
Okay.
And in fact, the other story I was telling you about the people who are alleging the baby oil stuff. And it's interesting because this has the baby oil angle. And then these other bunch of people, totally unrelated, have the baby oil angle. Now, by the way, Diddy's like, you know, he's trying to get out from prison. He doesn't want to be in there while he's waiting for his, you know, I'm an innocent man until proven guilty. And now he's like, by the way, I'm going to need the names of all the alleged victims, all these John Does and Jane Does. How else can I defend myself? How can I defend myself if I don't have all their names? Also, their addresses would be really helpful. Like he's literally saying, you got to tell me how all these people are. What? I'm in jail. What can I possibly do?
Weirdly, because I'm not going to do the story at all later, I'll just mention that. Do you remember the heir to the Max Factor fortune who had been, pardon me, I believe
you.
It was in Santa Barbara that he had been arrested for date raping women, and then he went on the run.
Andrew Luster.
Oh, right.
He went on the run and was actually found. No. That's a different story.
Oh.
He was actually found by Dog the Bounty Hunter down in Mexico, in Puerto Vallarta. So this guy, who is an heir to a fortune, had been in Santa Barbara doing this
bad stuff,
drugging women and filming. They got all of it on video. Mm-hmm. So these women have all, anyway. They were about to let him go from jail, a person who not only had done all those things, but then had gone on the run when he was on, you know, parole.
Yeah.
Or not parole. What are they? Bail.
Right.
They found him. And then just recently, they were about to let this guy go. And then suddenly the California Parole Board reversed their decision that in August, they made the decision in August that he would be released very soon. And they've luckily, he was convicted of 86 felony counts and somehow was about to get out of jail.
Oh,
he,
my God.
He is 60 years old now. But
when did that happen? How long has he been in?
It was in the 90s.
Okay. So they're like, maybe this guy now, 30 years later, gets parole.
I guess they had original decision was, yeah, he can have parole. And then they looked at it again and went, no, he doesn't get out early, luckily. But it's one of those things where here's a guy who has a record that is disgusting.
And a record of running.
And money.
Right.
He also liked the GHB, evidently.
I just saw this story last night, and then here you are talking about it. I didn't want to really do it because it's just awful.
Right.
But there it is. There are people out there who this is their thing. You can't call it a kink because it's a heinous crime.
No, right. This is right. A kink is just like a fun little fetish. Like, okay, that's a kink. This is a terrible, mind warped. You're psychotic.
The DA in the area said, in my 27 years as a prosecutor, this guy remains one of the most dangerous rapists I've ever prosecuted. And you were going to let him out early. Mm. So luckily, they didn't parole him. He will be out, though, October 31st, 2026.
Wow. That's the end of, and then he's not just out on parole, he's just done with his sentence.
And when I was reading the sentencing, it was like he got 100 years, then they knocked that in half, and then half of that is what he'll actually serve. You just go, what? Oh, it was 124 years in prison in 03. In 2013, they reduced it to 50 years. He since served 23 of those years, and it looks like the parole board was about to let him out when someone intervened and went, you can't let him out early. Yeah.
Let's go over what he did.
Dang.
Just like, take a quick look at that.
Well, I hope they get Diddy.
Me too. Like, just the more that comes out about it, it's just awful. This, I'm telling you, this Arinda story turned my stomach this morning. Like, and to think that was happening right here.
Well, I thought that he was doing this only at his
right
compound.
Parties and at specific parties and stuff. Like, it's just so awful. Ugh. Yesterday, it came up on the show. I can't remember. I know you had mentioned that, like, Al Pacino has a new book. And
yes.
So I went and looked, and I was looking at some of the excerpts and stuff, and I just have, like, a little summary thing here. It's interesting. Al Pacino has a new book called Sunny Boy. It came out on Tuesday. And in one of the excerpts that's floating around, at 70, he found out he was broke. Can you give me Al Pacino's age right now? And he's talking about movies. And he was like, yeah, I did that for the money. And that's mm-hmm. it. It's the only reason I did that. He once had like $50 million in the bank. He was okay. He was doing just fine. He's Al Pacino the whole time.
He's 84.
Okay. All right. So 14, 15 years ago, he was like, it turns out I'm completely broke.
Crazy.
In his 70s, he discovers this. He says he did have a corrupt accountant who mismanaged his money for years. He also never had as much money on hand as he thought he did. Here's a quote from him. In this business, when you make $10 million for a film, it's not $10 million because after the lawyers and the agents and the publicist and the government, it's not $10 million, it's $4.5 million in your pocket.
Which most people want.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I want that.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. It's just that you have $10 million in your mind. And you're like, well, I can buy that $8 million thing.
Right. No, you know, I understand.
I just got $10
million. It does make people think you have more than you do. It
says you're living way above that because you're high on the hog. And that's how you lose it. It's very strange the way it happens. The more money you make, the less you have. Adam Sandler made a movie called Jack and Jill. And that was the first movie that Al Pacino was like, I am broke. And I'm saying yes to this movie. I freely admit I did it for the
money. Standards be damned. I need a paycheck.
And apparently it was a good paycheck. Adam Sandler was like, yeah, I'm getting Al Pacino in my movie.
I don't
movie.
Know that film at all.
Me either. Oh, I think I do know. I think Adam Sandler played a pair of twins. One was named Jack, one was named Jill. And I think it was like around 2000 and...
I don't know.
Early 2000s,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, he played a female and a male.
Adam Sandler. What did Al Pacino play in that movie?
Hold on. I got it. Hold on.
We'll do it. I'm looking up. What did Al Pacino get?
What did he have to lower? What did the great thespian Al Pacino have to lower? Sonny Corleone, what did he lower himself to?
He played Al Pacino.
Oh.
That's what
he's played himself?
Yeah, he played himself.
Oh. All right.
And I can't find what the paycheck was. Whatever it was, though, even if it was only $1 million, he was like, yeah, I need that money. I got no money now. So yesterday when this story came up, I was looking at net worth stuff for him. And even since then, it's been updated. It's almost like he released this book and everyone went, yeah, we're going to look into that. And I see everything here from 40 million to 120 million. So it sounds like he's pulled himself out of that. And you had mentioned, I think Diane Keaton was his girlfriend at the time, and uh-huh. they went to the financial guy together, and she's like, this guy's an idiot. No, I'm not kidding. He is an idiot. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of this stuff. Oh, yeah. And by the way,
it's nice that she took, you know, up his cause for him because right? he clearly wasn't capable.
Right. So then let's see, talking about how much he loves. The accountant in question was eventually found guilty of running a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
So, and he spent 7.5 years in prison for it.
How much did Al Pacino make for Jack and Jill? What do you think?
$1 million.
You're way off.
Oh, yeah?
$3 million.
$10 million.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, is he only on screen for a second, or does he have a good little guy, Al Pacino, the whole time?
I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
The movie only made $79 million, so.
Well, it's nice that he got more than 10% of that money.
But he complained that it was only $4.5 million in his pocket.
Oh, that's what must be what he was bitching about. Yeah. That's really funny. So I guess.
Booyah.
All right, there's that. And I'm out of time. Vinny, what do you got coming up?
Among other things, the smallest hills we're willing to die on and more after these.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
Oops.
What?
I've turned me on. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. Fall. It's fall. So that's why it's a little play on words here. Fall into 5K a day. Fall into 5K a day all this week with Odyssey. Odyssey. You need the Odyssey app and Alice 97.3. All you need to do is download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to Alice for at least 1 hour. And that gives you a daily entry for your chance to win $5,000.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Since its inception, Fremont Bank and its foundation have awarded over $38 million to over 500 local organizations supporting education and youth, health and wellness, and social and human care across the Bay. Discover why philanthropy is such a strong focus for Fremont Bank and its foundation at FremontBank.com. Someone wrote in about the 5K a day thing and said, it sounds like a run, like you're running 5K.
Oh, it does sound like 5K a day.
Which leads me to say hi to Christina, everyone. She's listening on her commute to work.
Hi.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, honey.
When he hears 5K, he thinks of you.
Well, no, that was a texter that wrote that in. But then I definitely 5K, I thought, oh, Christina will think that too.
Yeah.
Everything. Running.
Running, 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 running.
Whenever we're driving down the road and I see a runner, I think, she's jealous right now that she's not out there running right now.
You could put her up beside the car. Just see if she can keep up. I mean, you want to run? Should you run there? Does she take the dog running with her?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, she does.
That's good. Although it is dangerous to get your dog into too good a shape.
Yeah.
Because then, wow, the energy. You just have so much energy. I should really just feed you some ice cream.
Bricks. Sunny and 70 today. It's beautiful out.
Yeah,
right now
really
here
pretty.
In downtown San Francisco as we broadcast from Studio 9 in the Odyssey building.
Hello.
Blue skies, spectacular. And again, throughout the Bay, we're looking at 70s. Perfect.
Yeah, it actually looks crisp out.
There will be offshore winds, strong offshores, over the next 3 to 4 days. And there are possible power outages. You can check the PG&E website for more info. Just put in your zip code and it'll let you know if there's going to be an outage. They're trying to get you the info so you don't come home with all your groceries for the week only to have your fridge turned off. And
right.
and you have to eat it all or feed it to the dog, whatever.
Right. Those are your options.
Thursday night football tonight, Denver versus New Orleans, 5:15 game time. I know what you'll be watching. I've already seen it.
Yeah, Survivor. That's what I'll be watching. But John likes to tape games anyway, so he can fast forward through stuff.
This is not a spoiler.
Okay.
But you're going to love the stare down. It's shockingly long.
Oh.
There's a stare down.
I can't wait.
There's a stare down moment in Survivor where I'm
They're
like.
They're both just standing their ground and neither one wants to give?
When is the pull off? And the camera doesn't.
Good. I can't wait.
I bet I know who it is.
Who do you think?
I think it's Rome and what's his name? The guy that hates Rome so much.
Oh, which guy hates Rome? I thought we all hated Rome. Oh, the Hawaiian dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great if it was them.
Yeah. I hope it's them.
Rome is so awful. Like, I really
is
feel
he
like
that awful?
He is. He's so condescending and just like this smug. And just the way he plays just makes me want to just do terrible things to him.
What?
Yeah, what?
What do you want to do to him?
Oh, you don't need to know. You're on a need-to-know basis. But
I mean, terrible things like...
Sarah.
No, I mean actually terrible
things. Is this
things.
Back to the whole you have a belt on that you want to...
A belt on?
You know what a belt on is.
Oh, you mean do I want to put a square peg in a round hole? No, I don't want to at all. In fact, quite the opposite. I want to do things that would, you know, that would hurt him. I want to put him in the hospital.
You think that wouldn't hurt him then?
I really don't know what he's into, Vin. Maybe it would hurt him. Maybe he'd be like, absolutely not. And I'd be like, all right, well, then that's what I want to do. I don't like to think of myself as being someone who would force someone, but I will hit you.
Oh.
Mm. No. No.
You in Rome. I don't see it, but okay.
I don't either. if you see it.
Anyway, my actual feelings on that guy, I agree with you that he's not the... But every show needs a villain.
That is true.
And he's not one of... What were those guys? The Hans brothers?
The Hanses, yeah.
The Hanses, whatever they were. They were truly villainous.
They really did feel like there was something...
Dark
really
inside
dark
there.
And like, very off.
Like whoever cast that person
had
to be fretting over, please, vote him out or I'm going to get fired. Like if this gets any worse, it's...
Because he was just like...
Creepy.
Like, creepy rapey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like not awesome at all. No, Rome isn't like that. Rome is just I just feel like, dude, pride goeth before a fall. Can't wait for the fall.
And that's what I think is that he's just setting himself up. Like, that's all that talk is just...
Ugh.
They'll cheer when you get yours.
That's
the setup. Right. You set yourself up. Instead of being, like, the guy that everyone goes, we're going to carry you out of here on our shoulders, dude.
For
you did it.
He's a jolly good
It's
fellow.
Not that. They're going to be like, yeah, finally.
Right. Kick him in the butt as he leaves.
Back to that, Sarah. Yeah, every time. Wow. With his butt.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're into it.
I'm not.
Keep that button handy.
I
like
find
it.
That guy just repulsive. I'm going to turn his things down.
Don't turn him down.
Don't
All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I'm already in the middle of this. A fire station burned down.
Oh, no. Where?
Think about that.
Yeah, I gotcha. Was it because they all left to go take care of a fire? Like, what the... How does that happen? Aren't those things made of brick?
A 10-month-old... The one across the street from my house in OB that was built was made of brick, yes. Yeah.
Which I'm not saying the stuff inside... But I always think of them as being like a brick building. You know, the firehouse. Why would you... You don't build that out of wood, you dummies. So, what happened? I'm ready.
I'm trying to tell you. Working on it. A 10-month-old state-of-the-art fire station in Germany burned to the ground yesterday because it caught on fire and there weren't any smoke detectors.
Oh, well, that's so stupid.
The city decided not to install fire alarms in the station. They say there's no code that would require them there. I mean, it is housing firefighters.
I do kind of, I can kind of see how they might go. It's always filled with firefighters.
Yeah, so we don't.
And they have those blankets you see on Instagram everywhere.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You know, the ones that you throw on the burning toaster?
Oh, yeah, you said you see those. You know,
I almost ordered them.
Maybe you should have.
I started to because I really do. I get that, like, overwhelming feeling
of need.
I am responsible for these people in my house.
Yeah.
And if I looked at this fire blanket and went, I don't need that. And then later
that's what I'm
saying.
It's like an insurance thing.
Yeah.
No, now that you thought of it, you should do it.
Maybe I do need to do it.
Well, don't do it because I said so.
I was going
I don't need
through
to have
the
an
process.
About this.
You know what? I was doing it before work one morning.
Oh.
And then I went, what am I doing? I fell into that, you know, and
yes.
Then I went, oh my God, I got a shower and I got things. And so I just walked away from it. And then I got 10 emails. Did you leave something in your box? Are you sure you're not forgetting something? And I was like, screw you guys. What is this? I completely have the wrong reaction to that.
Do you still get? Well, that's the thing. That always kills me when I put something in a cart and I've left the site and now they're bothering me about it all the time. I'm like, well,
woohoo.
This seems indicative of the volume of email.
Woo-hoo, look over here.
That I'll be getting from you in the future. I don't want to look at you. And have you ever noticed that, like, some places, they're just great about it. You know, you click on subscribe and that's it. You never hear from them again. And it's also, you even accidentally hit junk on something and you're like, where the hell are those emails? And then you go, oh man, I hit junk and now they go to junk. There are some, that TB12, the Tom Brady thing.
Nobody knows this.
I'm warning you, never buy anything from Tom Brady. I can't unsubscribe. I've gone to the site 50 times to do my preferences. I'm like, oh, like I'll get 4 or 5 emails a day from this dude.
A lot of the sites will have that. You've got to check if you want. Check here if you want emails, and it's already checked for you, and you have to uncheck it, hoping that you won't. And then they still send you everything.
They still send them. They've got
you. I'll tell you something about your boy.
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You know my boy.
Oh, yes, he is.
No, he's a traitor.
That guy won you all those trophies,
and then
you
got to
be
raw
about
it. And then he left and kind of pooped on us about
it. Yeah, well, he went and got another one without you. Whose fault is that?
It's his fault.
No, you should.
It's his fault.
Learn to take care of what you got when it's sitting right in front of you.
Dude, I'm not in charge of that. That's John's job, not mine.
Anyway, he became part owner of the Raiders.
Yeah, I heard.
A minority owner.
It's funny.
And meanwhile, here he is in a fledgling, just getting started broadcasting career, and the new rules are going to make it impossible for him to be a broadcaster.
Why is that?
Because he's not going to be allowed to talk about other teams as an owner. He's not going to be allowed to go to production meetings because he's an owner.
Because he would know too much?
He's not allowed to go to any facility because he's an owner.
So he's done?
No. I think he's going to try and somehow
do
broadcasts.
Just show up at the broadcast only and be like, hey, guys.
I guess so. Like, that's a thing.
Did one point this out to him ahead of time?
I don't know what the deal is, but there are rules now put on him as an owner
that he didn't have to worry about before.
And he's already not great at it. You know, like, I don't think he's terrible. No, I don't think he's thumbs down.
He's thumbs down. He's okay.
But for $300 million, no.
I agree.
You could put anybody. The guy they had was fine in terms of what you're spending versus what you're getting.
And I will say, I don't specifically tune. I tune in for the game. And I think most people are like this. Like, the game that I want to watch is the one I'm going to watch. And if it happens to be Tom Brady calling, okay, well, give that a listen. If it's Romo, I'm listening to that. And I like some more than others, but I'm not going to go, oh, I'm going to there because I want to hear Tom Brady talking. If anything, I'm like, no thanks.
Now, one thing I'll say in his defense is that his whole thing was that he outworked everybody. Like, he was willing to just work and work and work and keep working and work some more. And then, you know, not the best arm, not the best runner, somehow through work was able to become the GOAT.
Yep.
Well, we'll see if he's able to do that with all the rules on his broadcasting career, because
really
he's not going to be able to go anywhere near anything until game day.
Crazy. Like, you would think someone would prep, point that out to him.
Well,
And he was like, yeah, you know what, though? I'm Tom Brady, so I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Right.
Yeah. I want to own a team and talk about teams. I just want to be a football guy.
What I really want to do is fill up Sarah's mailbox with stuff about TB12.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, anyway,
he's definitely the goat at that, too.
They said that it's unclear if any firefighters were there when the fire started.
Oh, right.
At the fire station.
Back up, meanwhile.
They do say, though, that they figured that the fire station is filled with firefighters round the clock.
So what happened? Did someone smoke in the fire station and toss it on the hay bales they had over on the side?
The fire inspector was extremely upset about the fire and told the media, this is every firefighter's nightmare. No one ever wants to have to put out their own fire station. It's just not good. Thankfully, they say no one was injured. The cause hasn't been confirmed yet, but who knows? A toaster? Whatever.
It was the wiring. It was bad wiring in there.
You know, Frank has been trying to quit Siggy's forever and without back.
He's always out back sneaking the smoke. Oh, is this German?
German music. Yeah.
Well, we came back from the beer garden, as you do. And, of course, we all sat out back with our cigars and so on. Then I passed mine into the hay surrounding the building and just went up in flames.
I always have these flashbacks of me sneaking cigs on the side yard by the trash cans. Because, you know, that's where you hope no one's going to catch you until they come out to put the trash out. And you're like,
Oh, damn it. Yeah. Like they didn't know anyway.
You're just hoping for the best.
I mean, you've been smoking. I've been smelling it for months. I was just going to let you keep doing your thing where you thought you were pulling one over.
Why are you dumping the trash now? Let's be real. You never do that.
I just wanted to catch you in the act.
Damage has exceeded $22
million. Are you kidding me? This place really? So this was a state-of-the-art firefighting.
They say no one was injured. The cause hasn't been confirmed.
Oh, my God.
It might have been a battery charger that overheated.
Oh.
But damages exceeded $22 million. That is really a lot. That
feels
seems
like
too
a
much.
Lot. Well, I wonder if they lost like vehicles and stuff too.
The smallest hills we're willing to die on.
Oh. It is always surprising the one that really snags you and you're just like, I'm fighting that. I'm going to fight it and fight it.
Do you ever, after you fought on a small mountain, do you ever go, what was I thinking? Mm-hmm. Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, my God, yes.
All right.
Like daily.
Oh.
Like, what did I care about that for? I got all riled up about it. I'm like, you know what? You make a good point here 15 minutes in. You win.
There's a new list of online, the smallest hills people are willing to die on.
All right, like what?
And so here's a few. And this one's happened here. Woman. A girl is a kid, a female who has gone through puberty is a woman. Stop calling a woman a girl. Remember that when we were texted,
said,
I'm not a girl. I'm a woman.
Right.
And then
I think
we started
also
going,
lady.
Woman.
I think that they didn't want to be called lady either.
Oh, right.
Was it lady?
I don't remember.
But yeah, then we started doing woman all the time.
You know what?
Well, I don't, though.
Can you text us again when you were correcting us from the last time about, was it lady or is it girl? I can't remember. We didn't learn our lesson, though, so we needed a harsh thrashing via text.
Yeah.
800-400. I don't remember the rest.
3697.
Nickelback. Nickelback is a great band.
You know what? If you try and die on that hill, I'm just going to turn around. I'm not going to argue with you. You're that. I'm like, there's no fighting with an idiot.
Grease 2 will always be better than Grease.
What?
That's,
who ever fought that battle?
No one. Literally no one ever.
I don't even
that
think
battle.
I ever saw. Is Grease 2 starring the same people?
Dude, you're asking me. I do not know.
No,
I never saw that.
There's somebody famous that was in it. That
was it like their kids, their two kids fall in love with each other or something?
No, it was the same high school. Michelle Pfeiffer actually was the lead in that.
Yeah. I do remember. I think I did see that.
Well, talk about superstar status.
Yeah, but I don't remember it at all. And that first one is epic. I'll die on that hill.
That the first Grease was epic?
Is better than Grease 2.
Tell me more.
Did you get very far? Tell me more.
That is not PC.
Like, did he have a car? Boom, boom, bop, 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 get it, bop, bop.
Texting should only be used for short one-sentence messages, not elaborate conversations.
Amen.
What? Wait, so you're going to die on that one?
It's caramel, not Carmel.
Caramel and or caramel?
It's caramel,
and
not
then the town
Carmel.
Is Carmel.
Carmel.
Oh, Carmel.
Carmel.
It's not Carmel.
Caramel.
It's caramel.
It's caramel.
It's caramel.
It's caramel. It's caramel.
Dogs belong on furniture and in beds. We owe them comfort. I don't know where this list comes from. I don't know who's
fighting
that.
These are things that people are actually willing to...
I just read an article.
The hill that you're going to die on? That's funny.
I didn't bring it in as a news story because it's not. But I read an article about how we've ruined dogs.
Like, what?
Dogs used to work. They were working animals and they worked farms and they had purpose in their lives. And in the last two generations, not only have we moved them indoors.
Yeah.
They no longer work.
Right.
And they're told, don't bark.
Well, barking
noisy.
Is really annoying because we live close to other people. I don't want to hear your dog barking.
So they're not even for security anymore.
Right.
They sleep in our beds with us.
They're not guard dogs. They're like living stuffed animals.
Yeah. And now here we are like, go outside and go to the bathroom. And the dog looks like, nah, I don't think I have to go.
Because you usually close a door behind me and I don't like that. I don't want to be outside where it's scary.
We've turned dogs into losers.
Yeah. That's interesting. We kind of have done that. I didn't think it's true. Even growing up, and I was sort of out in the country, like there were no fences. There were no leashes. They just, you let the dog out and you saw it later that day. Like that was it. Now you're either with your dog or they're like in at home in their crate or whatever. That's weird. That's funny. We're just.
Here's a good one. I'm behind this. People who correct grammar on the internet are often more annoying than those who make the mistakes in the first place.
I agree with that. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you're a corrector.
I am. I do fight against it because I hate it when my mom does it so bad. But, you know, dude, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, another saying.
That's not. Write it down on my list of things I made up. Might as well get that started, Maddie.
What did she say? Apple doesn't...
Don't even. Just don't. It's a running bit.
She's just got a lot of... She's coined a lot of important phrases.
But here's the thing. There's no way you never heard the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's like, I'm like, some days you eat the bear, some days the bear eats you.
I never heard that one.
Well, that's why you're crediting
that. That's a true one.
Right, and the hair across your ass.
I never heard that one either.
And many others. And so then it just became anything that fell out of my mouth. They're like, oh, yeah, that's one of Sarah's things.
Our text number is 804.
I kind of like it better with the at the end.
Text us.
I'm confused. Is Tom Brady a suspect in the German firehouse fire? Yeah.
That really was a meandering thing.
It was, no, he's not. It was that we went from the firehouse to the fire blanket that is being sold on the internet to the spam emails I was getting to Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's company that spams me constantly.
And then I remembered that Tom Brady, as an owner of the Raiders, has been given a new rule book, and I don't know how you broadcast without being able to ever say anything about anything.
So when I hear it back again, it does make a lot of sense how we got there. It's just that we got so far. I know.
Unbelievable recall. I couldn't have put that back together.
Me either.
My wife chose to listen to this break.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
Wake up every morning with Sarah and Vinny.
What in the hell?
Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.